I believe the Lord wants his people to have understanding, to be knowledgeable, to know what it is they're facing in this time that we're living in today. So as we endeavor to try to bring out this burden, I ask you, pray the Lord will bless, and that the Lord would open our hearts and understanding that we can receive this for the good of our souls for eternity. I'd like to look at a familiar scripture in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Paul was speaking to Timothy, exhorting him. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I suppose as Paul is exhorting Timothy to war, a good warfare, and to endure some hardness, think about you and I. When the Lord saved us, we didn't know anything about fighting. A lot of people don't know really too much about physical fighting. But when it comes to fighting the enemy, there's a lot of, some people it seems to be kind of clueless of what it is and what it means to fight the enemy. For one thing, it's good for us if we're going to be in a fight to know who we're fighting, to have an understanding of what it is that we are fighting, and to know why that we are fighting, and to know how to fight. Now you ask yourself here this morning, do you really know everything there is that you need to know to fight the enemy of your soul? I can tell you that the enemy is vehemently opposing your efforts to fight. He is opposing every one of us every day. He comes against us in his ways, and he would like for his ways not to be well known. But by the help of the Lord, I want to expose him just a little bit here this morning. There's been a lot of wars in times past, been fought through the years, even back in the days of the children of Israel and their enemies. It seems like every people has an enemy. Every people has someone, I'm talking about literally, that doesn't like them, doesn't get along with them, and is at war with them. There were kings, good and bad, that were set on the throne of Israel and Judah that most of their lives or their times in as being king over the children of Israel, that they were in war or at war with one enemy or another. Now, I don't have to tell you that when you're fighting, you get tired and you get weary. That's dangerous in the spiritual sense. May the Lord help us today to understand that the enemy is relentless, that he doesn't back off just because we ask him to or because we tell him to. But we need the help of the Lord to fight this warfare that Paul here is exhorting Timothy with. I'm thinking about in our day, in our time back in the 60s, there was a war that started that over in Vietnam. You all remember the Vietnam, heard of the Vietnam War. It wasn't a very popular war. It was a political war. Our politicians, our government used that war for their own purpose and for their own desires, pretty much. And it wasn't a popular war, and it still is not a very popular war in remembrance today. But yet many men, probably women, lost their lives in that war. Many went over to Vietnam and fought in the rice paddies and fought in the dangerous places that were over there. And many of them came back. Many of them lost their lives. Many of them were maimed. It seems like that you see pictures of wounded veterans that come back from wars. Desert Storm and other wars that we've had in recent years. Men lose their limbs. They lose their arms. They lose their legs. They get in bad place. Don't take their life, but it maims them. And it causes them to be a cripple the rest of their life. We need to understand and realize, folks, why we're fighting. We're fighting, what are we fighting for? We're fighting for our souls, aren't we? We all want to make heaven, don't we? At the end of it all, we want to make heaven. We're fighting as we hold the truth very dear to our hearts. We're fighting for our children, our loved ones, our families that are out of the ark of safety. We're fighting for the church. We want to see the church prosper. We want to see it lifted up. We want to see Christ glorified. You and I have a responsibility to let our light shine and be the example here on this earth. That's the church. We're fighting for the truth. And it seems like there's very little of that to go around today. But folks, I'm thankful for the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're fighting for the right. We're fighting for what's right. I believe that we love the Lord and we're walking in all the light and understanding that He has shined upon our hearts. I believe we're fighting for the right things. And what are the right things? He said here, the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Endure hardness as a good soldier, not just a soldier. Paul didn't say endure hardness as a soldier, but he said a good soldier. Folks, this fight is worth you and I putting every bit of our hearts into it. Every bit of what we have, we're going to have to put it all into it. Because if you don't understand the opposition that you're fighting. You don't understand the enemy if you're not putting your all into it. I'd like to look real quickly here in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, before I go any further here. 1 Timothy 1 and 18, Paul here says again to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You know, I believe that Paul had enough experience in all the different places that he went, the churches, that the congregations that he set up in different places, all the opposition that he faced. I believe Paul, the apostle Paul, had a pretty good understanding of what it meant to war against the enemy of souls. I'm sure that everything just didn't fall in his lap. I'm sure that he had to press. I'm sure that he had to fight against the enemy in order to be able to establish the churches and the congregations over there in Asia. I'm sure that even on a personal level, on his own physical level, on his mental level, that he had to learn how to fight against an enemy that was very, very fervent in coming against him. Now he said, verse 19, this is important, holding faith and a good conscience, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I have seen down through the years of my life many, way too many make shipwreck in their fight against the enemy of their souls. I call them holding. He said here, holding faith and a good conscience. I call them holiness wrecks. People that proclaimed holiness, people that proclaimed the truth, people that would stand by the truth that was given down to them, people that were endeavoring to be faithful, they made shipwreck. They didn't go all the way. Things begin to change. They begin to get a different view. They begin to get a different view of what they understood. Begin to look at this in a skewed way. Folks, I wrote up here on the board, guerrilla warfare. Maybe some of you know what guerrilla warfare is. If you don't, you will before I'm finished, by the help of the Lord. Guerrilla warfare is a tactic that they started using many, many years ago. It is when a group of citizens, just citizens, they begin to arm themselves and they use military tactics. Folks, you need to understand this in order to fight against the enemy of your soul. We need this. They use military tactics, small groups fighting against bigger groups, fighting against mightier groups. Small groups of people can move around better than large groups of people can, can't they? That means they're more mobile. They're able to fight in a different way. Now, guerrilla warfare includes ambushes, sabotage, and we'll talk about some of this by the help of the Lord. Raids, hit and run. Hit and run. Guerrilla warfare is a warfare of agitation. You agitate the enemy, or the enemy would agitate you. It's agitation. You hit and run. You go in and you do a little damage and then you go off. And you wait a little time and then you wait for the next opportunity. You go in and you hit again and you do a little damage and take down a few more. It's a small group of people fighting with tactics that the large group of people cannot handle or deal with because they're not mobile and able to move like the small group can. It says it's a competition between opponents of unequal strength. Does that sound familiar? We are no match for the enemy, are we? We need the Lord. We need God to help fight the enemy of our souls. A competition between opponents of unequal strength to deplete the opposing force while minimizing our own losses. And that's really my heart's burden here this morning, that we don't lose anymore, that we don't lose anyone. Those that have started out walking in the faith, walking in the truth, folks, that we don't lose anyone else because the enemy uses guerrilla warfare tactics when he's dealing with God's people. He's hiding over here. He's hiding over there. Shows himself when he wants to show himself. And then goes and hides again. He uses sabotage. He will sabotage your walk with the Lord. He will sabotage your prayer life. He'll sabotage your faith. He'll sabotage anything he can to bring you and I down and cause us to be discouraged. The devil uses guerrilla warfare. He knows how to use it very well. To deplete the opposing force. Mobility, secrecy, and surprise in small units. People getting a different view today. People changing the way that they've been walking with the Lord. Folks, We are encouraged in the Word of God to hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It was delivered not to kings, principalities. It wasn't delivered to governments. It was delivered to the saints. And you and I are encouraged in the Word of God, Jude said that, to hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But people are losing their vision today. People are losing their fortitude today. People are losing as the enemy uses these guerrilla warfare tactics coming to oppose them and try to destroy them. And people don't understand his ways like we need to understand the ways of the enemy. He needs to be exposed in how he's trying to work and come against you and I. We all know this scripture. I'm going to read it. Ephesians 6 and 12. We wrestle not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, how do you fight against that? Folks, we need to pray down the power of God in our life. We need to implore the Holy Spirit that He would come and give us a greater measure of His grace, a greater measure of His understanding, a greater measure of His power, that we can fight today and hold on to the truth, hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Someone asked one time, someone, if they thought there'd be another Reformation. If there'd be another group of people that the Lord would raise up. Folks, there ain't enough of us left right now to start another Reformation. This is it. We're in the last of the last days. We're in the midnight hour of time. And you and I better learn how to fight. We better learn how to hold on. And we better ask God to give us love. Give us a greater love and a greater understanding and a greater desire for His precious Word and His Holy Spirit. Many today making shipwreck. Making shipwreck. Giving up. Going off another way. Now I know we heard about it in Sunday school this morning, but I want us to consider just for a short moment here over in Revelation, the 16th chapter, and I won't go into it real deep, but I want to read three or four verses here. It said in verse 13, Revelation 16 and 13, John, the Lord showed the revelator here. He said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. What was the dragon? Folks, the dragon, and skipping a whole lot of other explanation, the dragon was paganism. That was paganism. Three things that have been on the scene through time that the enemy has used in his guerrilla warfare fighting against God's people, and paganism was one of them. He said, out of the mouth of the dragon, paganism, out of the mouth of the beast, Catholicism. The devil has been using that all the way back, I don't remember when, the 1500s maybe even before that. But he said, and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Folks, that's the second beast that you read about in the 13th chapter of Revelation. It isn't hidden from us, folks. The Lord has revealed to you and I what it is we're fighting today, what it is we're dealing with today. That's the second beast that rose up out of the sea and paid obeisance to the first beast, which was Catholicism. And you have the false prophet today. You have religion out there today, the religious sectarian world, that they wear the robes, they do the all the things that the Catholic doctrine teaches. They do the same thing. They pay obeisance to the beast, and yet they've been sent to do one thing, and that's to deceive the people. What does he say here? They are the spirits of devils. They are the spirits of devils working miracles. We fight against powers, principalities, against spiritual darkness in high places, folks. They are the spirits of the devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole earth to gather them together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. He speaks of a battle here, doesn't he? He speaks of a warfare today. We are in that warfare. Sister said it in Sunday school. It is a spiritual warfare. It is a warfare of right against wrong. And folks, you and I need to understand that the enemy will use all of his wily ways, all of his tactics, and come and oppose you and I. Try to get you to see things a different way. Try to get you to understand things in a different way. But he said here, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Folks, that false prophet out there today is teaching people that Armageddon is coming. You better be prepared and you better get ready because Armageddon is coming. Folks, we're already fighting the battle of Armageddon. We're already opposing sin. We're already opposing wrong. And yet the enemy uses his tactics and his warfare to come against a poor soul of a man to try to get him to believe things that are false, things that are wrong. Folks, we're not waiting for that day of Armageddon. It's here. It's upon us. We're fighting for who? We're fighting for our souls. We're fighting for our children. Folks, we're fighting for our eternal life. That's what we're fighting for. The truth and for what is right. Oh, I'm going to turn over here. Let's look at the 13th chapter. It's talking about the two beasts here. But that second beast, in verse 11, in the 13th chapter of Revelations, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein. Hello now. This is where we are right now. Causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. There's false religions out there today. They're not Catholic religions, but they worship the same way. They pay the same obeisance to the beast of Catholicism. And he said, he doth great wonders. This is the false prophet here. He doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. We surely do need to live close to the Lord today. We surely need to understand, folks, that we're in a warfare and that we're fighting for our eternal souls. Sometimes the enemy comes along and he wants to use some of these tactics. Another one of his tactics is he tries to destroy the infrastructure. You know what the infrastructure is? In our country today, they're talking about getting enough money to build up, back up our infrastructure. Our roads and our streets, they're deteriorating. Potholes here, potholes there. And our bridges are getting old and decayed. The country is not keeping itself up and it's becoming decayed. The enemy will work on you and I, spiritually, folks. He'll work on our souls through the cares of life, through the things that you deal with in your life and through the things of the world. He wants to come in and tear up the infrastructure. Cause you to be weak. Cause you to get feeble. Cause you not to be as strong as you ought to be in your warfare and your fight against the enemy of our souls. Wouldn't you think? Back in World War II, Adolf Hitler was very astute at using propaganda to get people to believe things the way he wanted them to believe it. That the Germans were some superhuman race and the Jews were this and that and the other. Folks, the devil is very adept at persuading people through propaganda. To try to get you to see things that are not there. You know the devil does that? The weapons of our warfare, the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 10:4, are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Folks, the devil wants to get in your head. He wants to do some trash talking to you. He wants to get things, present things into your mind. Folks, sometimes you can guide people that way. You can lead people that way. Just present it to their mind. Just present it to their thoughts and go away and leave them alone. And see what they do with it. That's the way the devil works. He wants to get in your head. He wants to cause suspicions among the brethren. He wants us to go about surmising this and surmising that, wondering this, wondering that. This brother over here, that sister over there. Folks, leave that brother and that sister alone. That's not your warfare. They're not your warfare. But it's what the devil puts in your head to make you think. It gets your imagination raised up, doesn't it? It's a big nation, that imagination. If he can get that imagination through his propaganda, through tearing down the things, or through sabotage and tearing down the things that you once had as a stronghold in your own heart and your own life to stay pure and free and holy from sin. But he wants you to be a holiness wreck. He's trying to destroy us. You see, the devil is always trying to get us to think there's something there that isn't. You ever had that happen? You ever get thoughts in your mind? You hear something about someone? You see something? You think you saw something? And then we get something in our minds and suspicions begin to rise and the devil tries to get in my head and make me think there's something there that isn't there when all the time I should be taking care of my own soul, taking care of my own warfare, taking care of my own battle against the enemy of my soul. I'm worrying about someone else. The devil works in a kingdom of darkness, folks. That's where the devil works. That's where he lives. In the kingdom of darkness. I want to read you another scripture as we think about this here. Back in Galatians, the 5th chapter. I just want to put this out here. Lord, help us. Remember Peter? Whenever the Lord was walking away and Peter says to the Lord, he says, what are you going to have this man do? And he's pointing to John. Remember that? 21st chapter of John. What do you have him to do? Jesus plainly said, what is that to thee? You just follow me. Saints, let's just follow Christ. Don't let the enemy get in our heads and get in our minds and try to make us think the war's over here or the battle's over there. But let's realize, folks, that we're fighting a battle against right and wrong. I'm not fighting a battle against you. We're not fighting a battle against our brothers. Here's what it says in Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Oh, the devil would love to get in this congregation right here. He'd love to get in your head. He'd love to get in your mind. He'd love you to drop an eye towards someone. He'd like to get some surmisings going. He'd like to get some thoughts going in your head. Make you think this individual over here is trouble. That individual over there is trouble. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Got to stay on task, folks, where the real warfare is. Because the devil's using guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla tactics against you and I. Folks, they can work if we let it. They can be very valuable if we let it. If we don't fight, if we don't understand, if we don't know where he is, they can work. Brotherly love, this scripture here. Brethren, we've been called to liberty. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. By love, serve one another. Brotherly love, folks, is the adhesion of the church. Yes, it is. Brotherly love holds us together. Brotherly love is the adhesion. It's the glue that holds us together. And the enemy, I've seen it. I'm seeing it even more lately. The devil's trying to get in people's thoughts and minds that so-and-so over here and so-and-so over there, that's the problem. Folks, that's not the problem. If you see someone that needs help, the scripture says, if you see a brethren overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, what does it say? Lift him up in the spirit of meekness, didn't he? But be sure you're spiritual. Because he said, you that are spiritual, lift him up in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The enemy would love to get me, my mind, on something else besides my own spiritual soul. He would like to... My wife and I go to a little exercise class in the middle of the week. One of the things they do in that exercise is shadow boxing. Just throwing out punches and then kicking your leg up to exercise your body. The devil will have you shadow boxing. He'll have you punching at things that aren't there. He works in darkness, folks. He gets into that imagination. And he gets into that hit, and you're throwing punches at something, and that's not even where the battle is. That's not where the battle is. Lord, help us to pray for one another, to encourage one another. What is my personal battle? My personal battle is my spirit against the flesh. That's where the battle is. You want to fight a personal battle. It's your spirit against your flesh, your corrupt flesh that's always trying to confuse you and bring you down. And the enemy wants to impose you. He'll ambush you. He'll catch you by surprise. He'll try to sabotage your salvation. He'll hit and run. And then he'll get off. Look what he's doing to people today. How he's dressing them up, how he's making them live and go off and laugh at them. Because they're so foolish in the things that they're doing. Look what Paul tells it here. We know this scripture too real well. 7th chapter of Romans. But let's read it. He said in verse 22, I delight. Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. This is where the enemy is, see? This is where the enemy is lurking. He's lurking in your flesh. He can't get to your heart except through your flesh. And he said, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isn't this what scripture says? Bringing every thought. There's too many people worrying about somebody else. You're worrying about somebody else. You're trying to control them. You're trying to tell them what to do. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not up here to try to tell anybody what to do. I'm up here to preach the Word of God and tell you what the Word of God says to do. But as far as coming down, you cannot make people do what you want them to do. They won't do it. Because they have their own resolve. They have their own will. They make their own choices. But Paul said, I see another law in my members, in my flesh here, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You say, no, I don't have no sin. Well, you better not have any sin in your heart, but I want to tell you, your flesh will cause your heart to sin. Scripture says your flesh can cause the mouth to sin, folks. Better keep a guard on those kind of things. He said, I see another law warring in my members. Yet I delight in the law of God from the inward man, but from the flesh I'm fighting these battles. There's where your battle is, folks. War a good warfare. Work on yourselves. Lord, help me to work on me. You know what we need? We desperately need deliverance through sanctification. That's what Paul needed there. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We need sanctified, battle-hardened warriors, folks. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe other people don't do that. But I think so much about eternity. I got one chance. I got one life. This is it. I got one opportunity to do it right. But it isn't just me that I want to see saved. I got children. I got loved ones. You close your eyes and you think about eternity. Long eternity. Forever eternity. I think about that rich man that he opened his eyes being in torments and he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Folks, he's still there. He still would love to have that drop of water. Is this something worth fighting for, folks? Is there a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Our eternal soul is cause enough. He still would like to have him bring that drop of water from his tongue. What good's that going to do him? Not going to do him much good, but I'll take anything. And yet he's still there. He's still in torment, still suffering. And I think about souls today. We don't take life very serious anymore. We don't take eternity very serious. Folks, we can get into arguments. We can have disagreements. You can see things your way and I can see things my way. And when I get in the grave, none of that matters. Someone was trying to justify me to me the other day that why a certain person felt the way they did against one of their own relation, said they had a right to feel that way. I said, they don't have a right to hold bitterness in their heart against anyone. I said at the judge, and I told them this, at the judgment day, I said, they won't give an account of what that person did to them. But they will give an account of what they held in their hearts to that individual. They'll give an account of that. I don't have to give an account of what you do to me, folks. We can't keep each other out of heaven if we'll just be humble and be faithful. Lord, help us to be able to do that. I see time's getting away. It takes the Holy Spirit, and He wants to give you power to be able to fight this warfare today. Okay, let me move quickly to 1 Samuel. I want to give you an example of guerrilla warfare that was fought over here in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, and we'll try to move through this quickly. First and second verse, it came to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. Now here's Jonathan and his armor bearer. That's two. There's a garrison of soldiers over here, see. Hit and run. Coming by surprise. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree which is in Migram, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Paul had 600 men over here, or Saul did. And then it says in verse 4, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sena. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." No restraint on God, folks. I want you to remember that. He can save by many, or he can save by few. God told Israel, "I didn't choose you because you were the greatest of the people on earth. But I chose you." He made a promise and a covenant with Abraham. And he chose Israel to be his people. And he said here, his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart." Folks, can we stand shoulder to shoulder? Can we stand back to back? You know, if we stand back to back, we can see 360 degrees. We can see the enemy wherever he is. Can we stand together? Can we fight this warfare together? Can we have a trust, a brotherly love, a unity, a oneness, a love for one another, folks, that if the other brother, if the other one gets hurt and goes down in battle, that we'll go out there and try to bring them back and restore them? We don't want to lose another one. We don't want to lose anyone. Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we'll pass over to these men and we'll discover ourselves. We'll show ourselves to them. If they say unto us, 'Tarry until we come to you,' then we will still stand still in our place and not go up. But if they say, 'Come up unto us,' then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves." They started mocking them now. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and said, and his armor bearer, and said, "Come up to us and we will show you a thing." You know, that's just how bold that the enemy is, folks. It's just how bold that the enemy is. You and I are going to have to have some strength and some fortitude. You and I are going to have to be strong in the face of discouraging circumstances. And folks, if you look at it from the literal side, it could be very discouraging circumstances. There's not many fighting the good fight of faith today, fighting this warfare. I think Jonathan showed great courage and confidence in God. "Come up and we'll show you a thing." Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come. Come after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." He already claimed the victory right there, didn't he? He claimed the victory. "The Lord has delivered them into our hands." And he said, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, his armor bearer, and slew after them. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among all the people in the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. Do you have a resolve? A resolve that you're going to stand true and faithful before the Lord. Can we fight this battle shoulder to shoulder, back to back, side to side? Can we fight it together, folks? It's real. You better believe it's real. And it's all around us today. And the enemy's using his guerrilla warfare tactics to try to destroy us, to try to bring us down, to agitate us, to try to get things in our minds, in our heads, thinking things that we ought not to think. You know what you need to do when the enemy brings an impure thought cast it out. Rebuke the devil. The Lord said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Is the devil, may the devil bring another one of those thoughts tomorrow? Yeah, probably will. Don't get tired, folks. You gotta have a resolve. You gotta be willing to fight. If you don't fight, you'll give up and you'll be lost. It's pretty much as simple as that, in my mind. You gotta fight. You gotta hold on. It's something worth fighting for. That song says, we got a cause worth fighting for. We're giving up no ground. Saints, let's be strong. Let's be true. Let's be faithful. Because the enemy's real and he's relentless. And he's coming against us. Jonathan used a little bit of the tactics of guerrilla warfare here. Kind of caught them off guard. Told them they were there. When they came up, they slew about 20 men within about a half acre of land. Two men. Now you know, in your way, in our human way of thinking, that 20 men can overpower two. We know that. I would think so. But there was a difference, wasn't there? God was with them. God was with them. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Folks, I'm not telling you these things to discourage you. I'm telling these things to prod you. I'm telling you these things this morning to help you to understand that you've got a battle to fight. And we've got a very formidable foe that every one of us are fighting every day. My last scripture, I'd like to turn over to the book of Nehemiah. I like this. Over here, I feel like it's a good example of where we are today. There it is. The book of Nehemiah in the 4th chapter. And I want to read some scripture here. And I'll be finished, Lord willing. It came to pass. You see, the Lord gave Nehemiah a burden. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, and he gave him a burden to rebuild the walls. The Lord wanted to rebuild his city. And so Nehemiah took that charge, and he took a few men with him. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. This is not a popular way. If you want to be popular, if you want to fit in with the crowd, this isn't the way to go. This isn't the way to go, folks. Because they'll be angry with you. And they had great indignation and mocked them. And it said, he spake before his brother. And the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Sanballat, what are they doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Mocking him. Using this sabotage, trying to sabotage their minds and their thoughts. To weaken them before they even really get started in building the wall. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. How good are you at holding your position today? How good are you in fighting against the opposition? If you love the Lord and you want to stand by the truth, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have opposition, folks. It would be easy for us to become discouraged because of overwhelming odds. The odds are overwhelming. But with God, all things are possible, right? The odds are overwhelming in the battle that we're in today. What we need to do is acutely see the real need of holding the true position. Hold the true position. Be like Ahab speaking to Elijah, calling him a troubler of Israel when Ahab was the one that went south. And Elijah just stayed true and faithful. Saints, stay true and faithful. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. This is the prayer of the children. And turn their reproach upon their own head and give them a prey, for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Lord, help us to have a mind to work. Our prayers, folks, ought to be so diligent in praying for our lost and our loved ones, in praying for the church, in praying for the needs that are really out there before us. I have no problem asking the Lord to bless everyone, but folks, we need to ask God for mercy. We need to ask God to get right down where people are living and send conviction upon their hearts, that He would deal with their precious souls, that they not perish and be lost. We need to ask God for that. People had a mind to work. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very angry. They got the enemy. See, the enemy's angry today. If you're standing for the truth and the right, the enemy's angry. You're not his favorite people. And it said that conspired all of them together to come out and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, this is almost frightening to me. It makes me stand up and take notice. They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Folks, we can't afford to have that to happen. We can't afford that today. They shall not know till we're in the midst. Guerrilla warfare, guerrilla tactics. Folks, let's ask God to show us right where the enemy is. Let's ask God to shine the light and reveal Him and expose Him and let you and I resist Him and stand against Him with all the grace and the strength and the power and the authority that God gives us through His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. They won't know. It'll be too late. And we'll cause the work to cease. The church is going to go on with us, with or without us, folks. But you and I do have a responsibility to hold the truth. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places wherein ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lowest places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. There's a cause, folks. You and us must be strong soldiers of the cross. Soldiers of the cross. I was thinking this morning, early morning hours, and I was thinking of Jesus. And I was looking at a little picture here. And my wife has up there, it says, son, here's a handful of nails and a couple pieces of wood, go down and build a bridge. And I thought about when they nailed him to that cross. And I just got a mental image of that. The pain of those spikes going through his hands and through his feet. And I thought, Lord, you did that for me. You bore that for me, Lord. How can I just foolishly take lightly the sacrifice that you made for me? How can I do that? How can I trample on your blood? How can I trample on your mercy? And they drove those spikes through your hands and through your feet. Already had the crown of thorns. Lord, you did that. You didn't have to, but you did. Because you saw the fallen nature of men. You saw the future, and you saw what was that we were going to perish in a place of sinful darkness and wickedness forever. But he did. He did. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known to us and God had brought their counsel to naught that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work and the other half of them held both the spears, shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Israel. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. They were prepared for the enemy. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Folks, let this ring in your ears this morning. The work is great and large, and we are separated on the wall, one far from another. I can see it in my mind. The enemy, we're separated, folks. We got a little congregation here, a little congregation over there, a little congregation over there, a little congregation in the Midwest, a little congregation down south. And the enemy would like to come along with his guerrilla warfare tactics and pick each one of us off one by one. He would delight in that, wouldn't he? The work is great and it's large. And we're separated, one far from another. But in that place you hear the sound of the trumpet. Resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brother nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Lord, help us to be fervent in spirit, fervent in mind, fervent in heart. Lord, help us to see the cause. Realize there is a call. Our only hope of winning is to rely on the Lord. Put your all in all on the Lord. That's our only hope. We're separated. The enemy knows that. Folks, if you get a phone call, I don't know why this just came to me, but it did. If you get a phone call from someone in another congregation and they're putting out laundry that shouldn't be put out, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't let the enemy get something started. Don't let the enemy taint the things that are pure and the things that are holy. Don't listen to it. Tell them I'd rather not listen to it if it's something negative they have to say about someone or something that's going on. God has placed us here, folks, today to support his cause of justice and truth. And Paul encouraged Timothy, and I won't turn over and read it, but you know the scripture. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, that you might lay hold on eternal life. Fight it, folks. It's going to be worth it. One of my favorite songs of the past was "Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All." I believe that. I believe someday we're all going to lay these temples down, going back to the dust from which it came, but our soul, our precious, never dying souls will live on somewhere. Somewhere out there in eternity. Lord, help us. But we're going to have to fight before that day comes. As long as the Lord gives us breath, help us to fight. Lord, inspire our hearts. Give us courage, resolve. Give us grace. Help us to understand, Lord, that there is something worth fighting for. Lord, help us to understand, too, the tactics of the enemy. All the ways that he will come against us to try to destroy us. Lord, give us greater vision, greater understanding, greater wisdom to know how to walk before you in a way that we can be successful. And we can all be successful, folks. But we're just not born warriors. Most of us don't even like the idea of fighting in the physical. But folks, we've got to fight. And this is we got a cause, and this is a cause worth fighting for. May God help every one of us to be true, to be faithful, to be good soldiers of the cross, to be everything God is calling you to be, that we might be successful, not just here in this life, but in the life to come. Pray for me.